Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another Go Hunt bonus episode of the Western Rookie Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Krebs. Today, part two of our Utah applications coming up, the Utah elk applications. So, like we talked about in the previous mule deer episode, the Utah all species applications are due April 24th. So not too far after this podcast is going to get published. We got a day or two yet to get our apps in, but we wanted to get this out there. So Utah elk, specifically today, we're talking about Utah elk. Now, we covered a lot of the new and noteworthy items and bullet points for Utah in the mule deer episodes. We're not going to go back over all those. Just go check out the mule deer episode if you haven't already. We're going to skip right into what is the situation looking like in Utah. So for those that don't know, Utah has a bunch of different types of elk hunting, and it's very interesting because there are pretty much options for everyone. So a couple of the things that we're going to talk about today are how the bonus point structure applies for the limited entry elk and the different types of hunts, and then we'll dive into like what is it looking like in terms of Utah's elk population. So right off the bat, Utah has their limited entry elk, and then they have some general tags. So their limited entry elk permits, they have a split draw. 50% of the permits go to whoever has the most bonus points. The other 50% are randomly allocated. However, the random portion still factors in the number of points you have. So it's more like a weighted lottery. If you have 8 points, you go into the weighted lottery with 9 entries, 8 for your points, 1 for your current year. If it's your first year applying, you go in with 1. So there's always a chance to draw. So that's what makes Utah very interesting. Now, with that, you cannot draw multiple limited entry tags. So if you apply for limited entry deer, antelope, elk, and then maybe a once in a lifetime like moose, sheep, or goat, they have a specific order that they follow. And they go through this, and if you draw any of them, then you're out. So number one, the Utah draw, first up is your buck deer entry. So this is your multi-season premium limited entry, premium, the normal premium limited entry, the multi-season limited entry, the normal limited entry, and then there's a couple other, and then management. That's the first. So if you draw that, you're out for the rest. You can't draw your elk. You can't draw your antelope. Then they do bull elk. That's second. They do your multi-season and then your limited entry. Third, they do antelope buck. So if you still haven't drawn any of those three, then you can go in for the once-in-a-lifetime species. Those are your bighorn sheep, your moose, your goat, bison, desert, Rocky Mountain, and desert bighorn sheep. So the reason I want to cover that is if you've got points where you could likely draw either a deer or an elk, or maybe an elk and an antelope, or maybe you're getting really close to a once-in-a-lifetime and an elk, you can only draw one in a specific year, in a single year. So determine which one you want to draw. Honestly, if you're close to the once-in-a-lifetime, I would focus on that and try to draw that, and don't apply for the limited-entry deer, elk, or antelope. Because if you do draw one of those deer, elk, or antelope, then you're going to have to wait one more year for your chance at a once-in-a-lifetime tag. So be aware of that. If you've got a lot of points in both, probably do if you've been building enough points to be close to that once-in-a-lifetime tag and you've been building points in Utah all these years. So be aware of that. The first thing they look at is deer. The second is elk. Third is antelope. And then fourth is once-in-a-lifetime. So if you really want the once-in-a-lifetime and you don't want to draw one, that risk one of the limited entries because there's always that random portion, you might want to scale back and just apply for a general deer or a general elk, or one of the over-the-counter options for elk. So put some time into thinking about that. Now, one of the things that we're going to start with on what's the ground type, actually, let's scroll down to the different types of hunting options first. So Utah has a very wide range of opportunity. Utah has some of the best elk hunting in the country. They also have some of the few remaining options for a true over-the-counter hunt. Specifically, probably the only state for a true over-the-counter rifle elk tag. Idaho has over-the-counter rifle elk, but it's limited. It's first come, first serve, and it always sells out. So it's more like a lottery than an over-the-counter, if that makes sense. When you sign in December, you get a number that determines your queue in line. And then it depends on like if there's tags available. So that's more like a lottery. It's just like a live lottery. Utah does have a true over-the-counter rifle elk hunt that they offer. It's one of the few that are available. The way that they do this is they have certain units that are designated as trophy management. The other ones they have is they're managed for access. And they have two different categories of over-the-counter elk hunts. They have a general any bull and a general spike elk bull. There's archery, rifle, and muzzleloader for these two. So when we're talking about one of the true over-the-counter options for rifle, you have to either choose between buying a spike elk permit or a bull permit. And if you buy the spike, you can harvest a spike only, but on any of the open spike units. If you get the any bull rifle or muzzleloader, they're valid for any bull in general, in the general any bull units. So there's certain units you got to go in filtering 2.0, figure out which ones are general, but those are your two. So they're truly over the counter. There is a permit cap to be shared, but it's like over the counter, first come, first serve. So that is one option to hunt over the counter. So they will sell out quickly. So if you want to do this, be sure to be there the day they go on sale. I can share that with you on right now. Each one is different. The best way to look it up, go on the state website, go on Go Hunt, look up the table. General season archery elk, July 8th. General season any bull early rifle, July 10th. Same for late rifle, July 10th. General season spike for rifle and muzzleloader, July 17th. General season any bull muzzleloader, July 10th. So all over the place than when they go on sale. So be aware if you're doing the general over the counter, be there on the day they go on sale because they will sell out fast, but it is a true over the counter over-the-counter tag. So very similar, I guess, and when you really think about it, very similar to how Idaho does theirs. But one of the few, like I said, one of the few options to do over-the-counter rifle elk. Now, the over-the-counter archery elk is the other option, and these are not specific to a unit, and hunters who purchase the general season archery elk permit can hunt both the spike elk units and the any bull units. You just have to harvest accordingly. So if you're hunting, you know, hunters can harvest a spike or cow on almost every spike unit, or they can harvest any bull or a cow on the any bull units. You just got to know which unit you're hunting if you can shoot any bull or if you're limited to just spikes. The number of the archery general season permits is truly unlimited. So now, after Colorado's change to how they do their archery tags, there's no longer over-the-counter archery in Colorado. Utah is probably truly the last unlimited over-the-counter archery state. So very interesting. We'll see what happens, if they'll get an incredible amount of pressure now that Colorado has changed theirs. Too soon to tell, really, with Colorado being in the first couple years of their change. And so that is a very interesting state. But those are some of the different elk. And then obviously the limited entry tags, which the limited entry in Utah are some of the best elk tags in the world. So let's talk about what's going on in Utah right now. So it's been a dry fall and winter throughout most of Utah's best elk country. When we say the best elk country in Utah, we're typically talking the southern part of the state. That's where some of the highest quality bulls generally are. And there hasn't been as much snow as the north. The north is at just about 100% of their annual snowpack. So, well, they might not have as much total ground moisture over a long period of time as we'd like to see. They're not doing too bad. The south, however, more like that 55 to 75% range of annual snowpack. So these lower moisture totals aren't quite as impactful for elk antler growth as they can be for mule deer. However, it's not ideal. But once we say that, we have to make the caveat. There's a lot of factors that go into antler growth. And one of the biggest factors is the body condition of the mother, the cow, the year the bull was born. So the moisture years post-birth and the current body condition of the bulls coming out of winter also factors in as well. But a big one is, what was the weather like that year that bull was born? So you go back and you look at, you know, you want to look at that when that bull was born. Well, how far back do you look? Data that Utah has done shows a trend that 97% of antler length, that's the main beam, antler length, the length of the main beam, can be achieved by 6.5 years old. So what we're saying is, 6.5 years old, that bull is entering, you know, full maturity. It is in its peak years for antler growth, from 6.5 and the following years after that. Maybe starts to taper out. You know, every bull is a little different. Depends on how hard they rut, where they live, the food, whatever. 10, 11, 12, 13, you never know when that bull is going to taper out. But at 6 point, it takes 6.5 years to reach maturity or to reach peak potential. So you look back 6.5 years, that's 2018. 2018 was a great moisture year, as was 2016 and 2017. So those 3 years have been really good moisture years. So when we're looking now, we're seeing those bulls that are now 6.5, 7.5, 8.5 had a great start to life, which means they still probably have some really good opportunity for antler growth here in 2025. Could be a good year to cash in some points. I always recommend cashing in points. You hear me say it every time the topic comes up, but I would much rather you use your points and go on a hunt and have an experience than wait and your unit burns down, weather conditions change, we get an awful winter and have high mortality. A million things could happen. States can change how they allocate tags, and now you can no longer draw your unit. A lot of things can happen. So I always advocate spending your points. And it does seem like this could still be a solid year to spend your points with the moisture that we're getting. So keep that in mind. As far as what's going on in the state right now, well, there has been some changes in Utah recently. Utah, like I said earlier, arguably one of the best three states for trophy caliber bowls. I would say Colorado makes an honorable mention. Arizona's definitely in the running. New Mexico, these four states, Nevada has not a lot of tags, but some monster bowls. But Utah is right there with them. And so Utah takes a very interesting approach to elk management on limited entry units. They manage their limited entry units for a desired age class objective for harvested bulls, meaning they don't manage their limited entry for a cow to calf ratio. They don't manage or a bull to cow ratio. They don't manage it for total population as much. It's a factor, sure. And they don't necessarily manage it for antler score. They manage it for year class. They want the specific year class. And this study that I mentioned previously, this research project a number of years ago, determined that bulls reach nearly 100% of their antler length objective by 6.5 years of age. And the result was, across a large portion of the state, they actually decided to lower their age class objectives in some units because they were harvesting bulls much older on average than their objective, and realizing that these bulls can reach that similar antler quality at younger ages. And so they lowered the age class objective, which allowed for an increase in the number of permits. Now, this was received with some very mixed feelings. Some people assumed that the increased permits would lower the quality, especially on top tier units. Other people really appreciated the more opportunity to draw a tag, the more access. Kind of as a 50-50. I see both sides of it. I don't know where I personally stand on it, but I do like, at a base level, I like a scientific and a biologic approach to management. I've always liked biology making decisions rather than ballot boxes. And so I do like that. And I like some of the things Utah's doing with this. However, we are still early into this change. But the units so far have continued to produce some of the same quality bulls that occurred in the previous 10 plus years. So this probably is due to the fact that, along with increased number of permits, they're also shifting the percentage of some of these permits around for weapons and seasons. So a bulk of the rifle permits are now allocated during mid-rifle, which occurs after the rut, instead of early rifle, which is in peak rut. It's concurrent with the over-the-counter general rifle spike hunt. So these later dates and the added pressure in the field is making it tougher to kill some of these largest bulls. And so if there's some evidence to support the fact that by changing when these tags are offered can still help hold on and maintain that same high quality. So it's still new. It's still just a couple years old. I first heard about this maybe 3 years ago. So we still have to give it some time to see what the long-term trends are doing. But so far, Utah is still producing some incredibly large bulls. And so that is very, very encouraging to see. So when we talk about some of these units, I don't know if they get much better than Utah. So we're looking at some of the top limited entry seasons right now, and I'm over on filtering 2.0. So I'm going to do elk, limited entry elk. I'm resetting all my filters. And I'm sorting these by trophy potential. Some of these units in the south of Utah, south and south central, monster bulls. 88% public land, 380-inch bull potential. And I'm looking through all the different seasons. 70% success, 50%, 77, 100, 80, 93, 100. Imagine having a tag in your pocket where you know there's 380-inch bulls running around or larger. You have almost the entire unit of solid public, and your chances of success are at least 50%. I would be in heaven. Next unit down, same thing. 380-inch potential, 7% public land, folks. Success rates, 64%, 79%, 87%, 71%, 85%, 100%. When I say some of the best elk hunting units in the country, this is what some of those best elk hunting units looks like if you can draw them. And that's where things get really tricky really fast. Because as a non-resident, especially, and residents don't have it much easier, some of these units are incredibly hard to draw. Even with 20 points, some of these best units are still 0.4%, 0.9%, 0.2%, 1%, 0.6%. I mean, we're talking not good draw odds at all. If you have max points, 31. Right now, the highest Utah elk non-resident point holder, I believe, has 27 points. Let me verify that real quick, because you can, it's a public record, which is nice. I'm looking it up as we speak, folks. The highest point holder for elk. Oh, I was off. 31 points. 31 points. There's three non-residents at 31 points, seven at 30. If you're sitting in there, guys, I don't know what you're waiting for. Cash in your points. Cash in your points. Go hunt some of these incredible, incredible units. I don't know what you're waiting for at that point. Some of these elk units are so flipping good. It's unbelievable. Another unit, 380-inch potential, 75% public land, success rates, 47, 67, 82, 57, 77. Another one, 380-inch potential, 91% public land, 45% success, 69, 79, 62, 71, 100. Guys, I dream about having one of these Utah tags. But I don't even apply. I don't apply because I haven't yet just broke down and started applying for Utah. I really should, but the draw odds are so low. And I mean, until you get to like 25 points, you like statistically can't even draw. I mean, you can, but it really takes max points to draw some of these tags or near max points. And so I don't know what those 10 folks that have 30 plus points are waiting for when it comes to Utah elk. Maybe they got tags other states that they're hunting, but there are some incredible elk hunting opportunities in Utah. And so I really encourage you to put it on the radar, especially the over the counter and the any spike, any bull tags, tons of opportunity in Utah to get out there and get some elk hunting experience. Some of these any spike hunts are in the same units as limited entry bull hunts, which means you're hunting the rut sometimes. Elk bugling, their heads off. You're going to see bulls. You're going to hear bulls. Yeah, you can only shoot a spike, which is still fun. It's still a lot of meat. Super incredible experience. The general spike or any bull permit, $613. Very, very respectable tag price on that. So seriously, give it a thought. Give it a thought of adding Utah to your rotation. Great opportunity as well if you can't draw another state this year to just bounce over to Utah. Bounce over to Utah for a year. Keep building that elk hunting experience. Awesome, awesome state to go and chase some bulls with. So that's the breakdown. Utah elk, April 24th. Not too long after this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to have to act fast to get your Utah elk applications in. But that is what it's looking like in Utah. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.